as I'm like, I got to accomplish everything in the book of Heather, like got to work for this on the book of Heather and check all these things off. And I just picture Jesus seeming to be like, oh, Heather, like I didn't write all those rules for you.
Right.
Like I'm not judging you on all those things, right? Just live my book and just put your book down. It doesn't have to be this hard.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, More Than Small Talk friends, we have a treat for you this week. We have a special guest, Heather Creekmore, and you'll hear more about her in just a minute. But I wanted to say this is the second in our Her series that we're doing. So if you have not listened to Restore Her from last week, then go back and catch up. And this week we are talking about Really See Her. So if you have ever felt insecure about yourself or your body, then Heather, who has written a book called The Burden of Better, is going to have some encouraging, heart-freeing truth for you today. So, Suze, tell us about our friend Heather.
I will. First of all, welcome, Heather. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so this is the scoop on Heather. Heather Creekmore writes and speaks hope to thousands of women each week, inspiring them to stop comparing and start living, which I love. Her first book, Compared to Who, encourages women to uncover the spiritual root of body image issues and find freedom. Her new release, The Burden of Better, offers women a journey into the depths of God's grace to find a way off the treadmill of constant comparison. She's been featured on a lot of great shows, HuffPost, Morning Dose, Church Leaders, but she's best recognized from her appearance as a contestant on the Netflix hit show Nailed It. So, Heather, welcome to More Than Small Talk.
Oh, thanks so much.
All right. I have a question for you. We dive in with a confession question, but what's the problem with wanting better? Is that not a healthy way to live? Tell us about that.
Oh, you know, it's the American way, right? Like, I think in some ways we've all been trained that if you're not seeking better, well, you're some sort of apathetic loser, right? Like, obviously, like, why would you just be content with the life you have when you could make all these small tweaks and have a better life, right? It seems so antithetical to culture. And I do think that there are ways that God wants us to be better in our lives. The problem happens when we become better seekers instead of Jesus seekers.
Okay.
Right? When we're always looking for the next thing, or I like to say, when we're climbing comparison's ladder has no top rung, right? So it's an amorphous term, right? There's no describing or defining accurately what better is, because there's always just a little bit better. It's a non-stop battle, really, to reach a destination that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Can you tell us a story about a moment in your life where you thought, oh, I'm chasing better right now in a way that isn't helpful?
Yeah. You know, I wish this wasn't my default story, but it really is. So I struggled with body image for a very long time. Starting at age 9, I thought my legs were large, and that put me on a course of dieting and disordered eating and all kinds of things. It led me to become a fitness instructor because I was pretty certain that those women that stood in front of aerobics classes didn't have body image issues. I was wrong. But all of these different things I tried, and finally, y'all, like, I did get to a smaller size. I mean, you work out enough and you put like your life's energy into it, your body will change. But I remember even wearing that size, and now I look back at those pictures and I remember I still thought I had work to do. I still thought my body needed improvement. I was never content with where I landed. And now when I speak to women all over, they come up and they share the same thing. They say, yeah, I tried the body thing too. I thought losing the weight, I got the surgery, I did all the things, and nothing ever felt good enough. I still didn't feel like I was okay.
Yeah. And that follows you everywhere, right? Like, one compelling story from your book was about being in church and looking at the worship leader in the middle of worship. Can you tell that story too? Because I think so many of us can relate to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was actually writing this book and it had a different title altogether, right? Because you all know how that goes. Yeah. And I'm writing this book and I realized, like, I was standing there and I raised my hands in worship and I was standing there like praising God. And I was thinking about how much like thinner the women on stage was and how her outfit was so much cuter than mine and how I had worn the wrong thing to church this morning. And the song that we were singing was that revised version of God, You're So Good. Like I remember singing, I grew up in church. So I remember singing that in like the 80s, like, God, you really don't want me to sing. Like, God, You're So Good. And this was like the updated version of that. And I am singing this song, God, You're So Good. And I'm looking at the stage thinking, yeah, but I think you were a little better to her. Cause look at how cute she is. Look, I think she's prettier than I am. I think she's got a much better singing voice than I do. That's for sure. And comparison, you know, I was supposed to be worshiping and comparison kept me in a place where my thoughts were turned towards myself. Mm. And really in all that, I'm kind of questioning, is God really good to me? Right? Because I feel like he should be better to me. And that was a real turning point, actually, even in titling this book, because it was startling to realize just how much comparison sneaks in, even when we're not expecting it to, like at church.
Yeah. Well, you said something in your book that really hit me hard. You said there are fictional rules that we often construct to assess our value. Yeah. And that, you know, how many of us have done that in our life is that we've created some fictional rule, I don't know, based on social media or based on some words somebody spoke over your heart when you were growing up, that somehow this is the ideal and not just body image, but success, you know, or anything.
Yeah. Right. I like to talk about it now, and I wish I had seen it and thought about it this clearly before I wrote the book. But now that I've had more opportunities to think about it, like, I think we all have our own book of me. Right. And so I'll speak in the third person. It's a little awkward. But the book of Heather has how Heather should look, how Heather's children should look, like what success looks like for Heather, what Heather's home looks like. Right. And there's all these rules that I have in the book of Heather. And then I have the Bible, right? Yeah. Which is actually the way that God tells me, like, I should live. And, you know, there are some rules in there, but he's so gracious. It's not like this overburdening kind of thing that he puts on us, right? And I just picture Jesus standing there, looking at me each day as I'm like, I got to accomplish everything in the book of Heather, like got to work for this on the book of Heather and check all these things off. And I just picture Jesus standing there like, oh, Heather, like, I didn't write all those rules for you.
Right.
Like, I'm not judging you on all those things, right? Just live my book and just put your book down. It doesn't have to be this hard.
It's like our personal version of legalism, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. It said we wrote it instead of someone else. Man, right. I totally deal with this stuff. So I have a big, long book. It's not a short story.
Yeah.
So, and Jennifer, I've seen you nodding a lot.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think that what you're touching on is so powerful because enough is never enough, right?
Right.
And so I think that's the glitch in our minds where we think, okay, we're going to like achieve this goal. And then it doesn't satisfy. And then we reach for the next one. So how do we live beyond where enough is actually like enough? Like how I am right now is just fine.
Right. Well, like enough isn't actually a unit of measure.
Right.
Like you don't find a recipe and it's like put enough salt in. Like,
right.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Right. It's so intangible. And so, yeah, as I went to write this book, I was like, okay, what is the cure for comparison? Right. Because you know all the cliches. Like, well, don't compare your behind the scenes to someone else's highlights reel. And, you know, we all know that comparison is a thief of joy, right? Like, we know all the cliches, and yet we get on Instagram and it's hard to stop scrolling and comparing. So as I was praying about this and as I was writing the book, and I don't know how it is for y'all, but like I kind of discover things through writing, right? Like that's my therapy. And God just kept leading me back to the concept of grace. Yeah. And I did a deep dive into God's grace and all. Like, I grew up in church, like I said, and I sang Amazing Grace, but I didn't really fully understand all the different ways God's grace applies to my life today. Like, I knew I needed saving grace, so when I died someday, I can go to heaven. But I didn't fully grasp how understanding God's grace gave me so much security in my identity, how it frees me from trying to be perfect or trying to work too hard or all of those things. And so really, I think the key, Jennifer, to your question is how do we like reach enough? Mm-hmm. I think we have to find our satisfaction in God's grace. And that may sound cliche to someone listening, but I really believe that when we dig deep enough into God's grace and all the different ways it operates in our lives, it no longer becomes cliche. It becomes just this new experience of gratitude, right? We're like, oh, wow, that's God's grace. Oh, wow, that's God's grace. And all day long, your heart is quickening to God is for me. God is working in my life. God is real. Like, there are amazing things happening. Thank you, Jesus. And I think that frees us from this, you know, burden / temptation to live lives trying to look or be like everyone else.
Yeah. I think for me, something that was said in your book is that comparison stains our brains. And I want to go a little bit deeper into that. If we can understand what comparison does to us biologically, emotionally, talk a little bit about the research behind comparison stains our brains.
Yeah. So that was a study done with, you guys, monkeys or chimpanzees. I know there's a difference, but I am not a zoologist. Sure. So some primate they did this study on, and they watched what happened, because primates mate for life, I guess. And they watched what happened when they took the female's man, and they put another female beside that man. They watched what happened in her brain. And it was interesting because the sensors showed that it left a mark. She watched this other female monkey stand beside her man and felt rejection. Mm. She felt jealousy. And she processed, nothing had happened, right? The two monkeys are just standing side by side. But she processed it as an assault to her, right? As an offense. Something horrible had happened. And I think that's what happens in our brains. Like, we take it further than we actually realize we're taking it. Like, I see you have something fabulous happen in your life. And if I'm comparing, I can take that and internalize that as I've been rejected. It's an assault to me. You got married. Yeah. Something's wrong with me because I'm not married yet, or whatever the scenario may be. And it's really interesting how our brains are doing a whole lot more around that than we know.
Yeah. For me, learning to clap for others, which is something that Heather Thompson Day said in a couple of episodes back, is that learning to clap for others, to see that woman on the stage and to see the gifting, or to see that woman standing beside a new job or whatever it is that she's been given, to be able to say, God, you are good because you're good to her. Mm-hmm. You know, you are good, which is what Heather said. Is a very practical thing to shift that mark to say, and God, these are the ways you're good to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I am in a season maybe where I'm struggling with this, but Lord, look at how faithful you are in these areas. And I know you'll be faithful in this area too. Not that I'm going to look a certain way or be successful in a certain way, but I'm going to have the shelter of you. I'm going to have your grace, your mercy. So I want to transition, because when we say that word grace, you know, if you can settle into God's grace, I didn't know how to do that as a young believer, what that even meant. So to be able to find the goodness of God where he's working in you, where he's working in others, and inviting him into that moment of doubt and comparison was helpful for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So Heather, what are some other kind of practical strategies and tactics? How do we actually rewire our brains, you know, be transformed by the renewing of our minds in this area of our lives.
Because you're a coach. I know that you come alongside women and you help them find a new way.
Yes. And I tell you, it always starts at the same spot.
Okay.
And that for me and the women that I deal with is always identifying our idols. Okay. Right. So we touched a little bit on ideals before. And a lot of women I talk to and coach are like, yeah, I don't really compare myself to other people.
Sure.
Like I just compare myself to the me I want to be. And so like, I'm not a bad comparer. Right. It's just like, I have these expectations of myself. And we kind of talked about that a little bit, but whenever you idealize, you idolize, right? There's something out in the horizon that I believe will give me life and joy and peace and rest. Or another way to say that is I believe it will save me, right? Mm-hmm. And so some of us, you know, for me, it was, I thought like having a certain body size would save me. Some people it's career success. Some people it's, you know, getting married or having children or having a certain kind of home. Like there's so many different ways this plays out. But where I always start is let's find what you're idealizing and what's being idolized. And then the great news is, like there's a cure for that, right? Jesus provided a cure for that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We start there and then we move through to concepts like gratitude. And gratitude's a really hot, you know, topic just in culture at large. But I think as Christians, if our gratitude isn't rooted in the truth of what Jesus did for us, it's not really as powerful as it could be, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's one thing to be, you know, I'm thankful the sun's shining. Like those are all good things, right? But if it's not rooted in, wow, like I am secure for eternity. And you know, that has an impact on my identity today, right? Like I use the illustration. We really feel bad about ourselves, right? Like, maybe you just feel like I've got nothing to offer. Like it's just, I'm at the bottom, right? Let's put it into financial terms. Like let's say you've got no money, but if you knew that when your parents died someday, you were going to inherit billions of dollars. How would you feel right now? Even your state of poverty, you'd probably be like, well, this isn't great, but I know there's a future, right? I know in 10, 20, 30 years, like I've got this huge inheritance coming. Like, wow, I can live with this future hope and future joy because I know what's ahead. And I feel like when we struggle in every area here, if we can remember that future hope we have, like it can give us a supernatural sense of excitement, right? Like, I know I don't feel like much today, but I know what God says about me. And I know someday I'm going to feel like royalty in his presence with him. I think there's a lot of joy and hope that can come from that.
So what do our listeners say to themselves in that moment? Do you have like a phrase or like one go-to thing that when you realize you're saying, I could be better, what do you replace that with?
Yeah, I think that it's, I'm a work in progress.
Good. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or I'm on a journey. Right? Because I think we all, and this is what idols do, right? They tell us that life is linear. If you get to this thing, then you've arrived. Yeah. And then we've all had it happen, right? We've gotten to that thing and you're like, I'm not there yet. Dadgummit. The next thing, right? But life isn't linear, right? Like we all, you know, just like the Israelites, we circle. Like, okay, we make some progress and then, you know, we go back and take a couple steps backwards and make some more progress. And, you know, so I think recognizing just the falsity of that is helpful.
Heather, you said something that is helpful for me is that God has a plan for your life that doesn't depend on hers. And that's really helpful for me. Is to be able to, in that moment where maybe I'm struggling, is to take a step back and say, Lord, you have a unique plan for me. You see me. You created me uniquely. And my value to you and to this world and to others doesn't depend upon somebody else or something else. You know, releasing ourselves from that.
Well, any final thoughts, Heather, as we wrap up that you want to make sure our listeners hear?
So this all came back to me this morning as I was thinking about this interview. But when I first started writing, My agent at the time told me that I reminded him of Holly Girth. And so, but here's the
is
way
that
happens,
a compliment
right?
or an insult? I don't know.
A compliment.
totally, compliment. Totally a compliment. But here's the way it happens. Mother. And I was thinking about like any listener that has a sister, you know, like you get compared to someone and then what happens? Right? Like you start stalking them. And so, Holly, you don't know this. I was a secret stalker of yours for a long time, right? Because you're trying to figure out, okay, well, what are they like? And, oh, am I like them? Am I not? Okay, do I need to be more like them? And it becomes this kind of trap, right? And my agent wasn't trying to do anything dubious, and it was a compliment. But I just think when we get caught in comparison, even those compliments can take us down unhelpful rabbit trails.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my maturing process, right, we only write about things that we struggle with. So I could not write a book about comparison if this is not a big issue for me. Uh-huh. Right. So in my process of trying to sort this out, it's been an interesting journey of recognizing kind of what Susie said, just like the living with a scarcity mentality, right? Like, like seeing, oh, okay, well, Holly got another book deal. Oh, that means I'm not going to get a book deal. Like that's a ridiculous way to live, right? Like there's God has given each of us a purpose, and he's given us everything we need to accomplish his purpose. And just being able to settle, rest, and breathe in the truth that we can all achieve those purposes without being in competition with each other, I think is a true blessing.
It's just so funny to hear you say that, because I have an insider source who knows Holly Girth. And I can tell you that Holly Girth wakes up every day and feels like she has no idea what she's doing, that she's not doing enough. These ladies are nodding because they have to talk me off the ledge a lot. That I look at other women the way you said, you know, you looked at me sometimes and have the same thought, she's doing better. I mean, so it's so interesting to think even the people we're looking at and thinking, oh, she doesn't deal with this. They absolutely
do. That's really wise.
You know, I mean, Holly does, because I know her a little bit.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. And if you've been chasing something that was better, but now it feels like a burden, why don't you put that down and find the rest that God just so generously offers? And one resource to do that is to find Heather Creekmore's book, The Burden of Better, How a Comparison-Free Life Leads to Joy, Peace, and Rest. Thank you, Heather.
And we're going to be doing a bonus video with Heather that you'll be able to find in our More Than Small Talk Facebook page. So if you want to hear a bonus question that we're going to ask her, then come over there and join us too.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.